This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
From the ArmeniaProud.com studios,
Genatsit Hayed.
This is A Toast to Armenia with Jano Kabinjian. A comprehensive look at the Armenian culture, only on lineupmedia.fm.
Genatsit Parluis Inshpisik, my friends. Hey, I got the show to myself today, and I've got a big guest coming on, Vaha Setyan. He's into Armenology, and I think it's very, I think it's interesting as hell. I can't wait to interview him on this. And you know what? I said, what's going on in the Armenian world right now? And there's something going on that really bothers the hell out of me, and that's this incident that, you know, this woman and her two-year-old got killed by Armenian soldiers, Armenian troops that were defending Artsakh. And you know what? How can we help ourselves from not hitting a woman and a child when they're hiding behind a woman and a child shooting at us? And, you know, it's gotten crazy. And here we go again. They did the same crap to Syria, and now they're doing it to the Armenians. They got pictures of this little kid. God bless her. I didn't want anything to happen to the kid. None of those soldiers that fired, or no shell. We never intended for any little kid or their mother to die. All right? That's not the way we are. We're the first Christian nation, and we don't play that game. I mean, we're straight up good people. When you attack us, we'll attack you back. I mean, you could see it by our geographics, by being pushed around, but we've always stood firm. And you know what? I'm so mad and frustrated that this Azeri propaganda right now is all over the news, in Yahoo, New York Times, Washington. Come on, folks. Come on. You got to have better things to do than that. Okay. I just got to chill out now and get to our first guest here. Well, my friends, I tell you what, very interesting here because my friend Mara, she's one of our Toast to Armenia friends out on our Facebook site, and she really recommended Vahan Setyan here, and she said that he's an Armenology. And I said, well, what's an Armenology? And she goes, you would really be interested in this, and your people that listen to the show, I think they would love it. And I said, why not? Let's check Vahan out. And I did. I liked what I seen, and we got Vahan on right now. How are you, sir?
Good. How are you? Thanks, John.
I am doing great. I am doing great. Now, you're in West Coast, too, aren't you?
Yeah, in the Arizona area.
Arizona,
New Mexico.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So tell me, what does Armenology, an Armenologist, consider? What do you guys do?
Well, I mean, there's a difference between an Armenologist and then a person who is actually trying to do research and help the topic of Armenology to take root. Armenology is basically a study of Armenian history.
Ah, okay.
And its language and its ancient history. And I mean, you can say, you know, you specialize in Armenology.
It's history.
After you go through, to go through schooling. But, I mean, in essence, really, anybody that has the heart and the time to delve into the idea and then expose all the truth that has been hidden for such a long time, you know, you can consider yourself as one of the knights that is moving forward in trying to express the truth that should be exposed.
Right. Well, I appreciate that. I'm one of the knights. I was reading into everything, and you make a big word here called falsification. And I, you know, it's basically saying the history was wrong. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, falsification, I think that it's a very, very important word to concentrate on. And the reason for that is that most of the people in general outside of Armenia and even Armenians outside, let's say, outside within the diaspora, first of all, they have very little idea about their history period. they're not very good when it comes to their ancient history. I mean, they know about Christianity, they know about the Armenian genocide and all that, but anything before that, they have no idea. In general, they didn't know what kind of kingdoms we had, and because of that problem, it's very easy for you to gloss over any falsifications that are in front of you. In other words, let's say if other countries or even other ethnic groups, they want to incorporate and to inherit the Armenian history and ancient history. The person that is not aware of that history would never know whether it's Turkish history or Armenian history, because they just have a very bad sense of, you know, ancient history, chronology, language, and so forth. And for example, when people go to Turkey, let's say, out of the United States, most of the people, they'll go to the museums, and then in Turkey will be presented as Turkish history, you know, Turkish artifacts, but they don't have a good grasp of, you know, chronology of events. They don't know that that country is only 600 years old,
right,
that there is no way that artifact would be part of theirs. But the thing is, many people, they gloss over this problem. And whoever is trying to falsify or misrepresent, they will continue on, because they see that most of the audience are not very, very good with history and chronology. So they're okay with, you know, appropriating that.
Now, is this internal? Like, is it from the outside, or is it Armenians throughout centuries that have just kept this one thing, the systematic of keeping it like they wanted it?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, the problem is multifaceted. First of all, the lack of proper knowledge in even the fundamentals of your history. We already know that. After the adoption of with Christianity, you know, many of the ancient artifacts were destroyed. You know, many of our books were destroyed and burned. So we had that divide between us now and to our ancient past. So now, because all that has been destroyed, now we need to go indirectly to other nations and other ethnic groups to look at their history and see ourselves in those books, in their history. So, I mean, we can certainly see ourselves as ancient people, let's say, in Indian literature. We see the same thing in South America, that's Polynesia and so forth. And we can use our language to decipher all that. many of the historians themselves make an error of claiming one empire to belong to somebody else, when you already know that that's Armenian, because even the name itself that they say can only be translated in Armenian. But they don't know that. That's the problem. The premise of their arguments are incorrect, so they just put more and more stuff on the wrong premise. And then, of course, when you have wrong premises, you're always going to have the wrong conclusion. And the problem is that we're few in number. Whoever is in tune to this history, they're trying to battle a much bigger enemy, you might say. And it's difficult for you to rewrite or even correct, you know, historical books. It takes time.
Right.
It takes effort. You know, it takes lectures and writing books and all that. And not many have the interest for that. Whoever gets reborn into the idea that, you know what, all these things are happening, you know, I got to help these people out. And it's very few in number, so you can't do a lot of damage that way. You need a much bigger collaborative for you to do that.
Right, right. Vahan, how did you get involved in this? I mean, was it one day you just got up and said, enough is enough, I got to get this truth out? I mean, it seems like you got strong conviction on this, and this wasn't like an overnight type of thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, first of all, I value intellectual honesty. As far as in any field, but you know, when you start reading, and of course one of the privileges that I had was that you know, I know Armenian, so there are many things that I can find in ancient literature that looks like Armenian, which it is. So, which is something that others don't have. For example, if you have let's say a Japanese archaeologist or anthropologist and looks at these ancient artifacts. If he doesn't know Armenian, there are certain things that he's going to miss. For example, let's say we had Armenian kingdom of Mitanni. Did you know that we had a kingdom like that?
I did not.
Okay. So that's an example right there. When you don't know the, let's say, kingdom that you did have so many thousands of years ago, then it's very easy for you to not notice all the other problems associated with that. But, I mean, Mitanni can certainly be translated as one house, like Mitun, which was, well, that's what it was. It was a consolidated house with all these different tribes put together into one empire. And but throughout the thousands of years, and especially the last 120 years after the, you know, the massacres and the and then the genocide and all that, as that was going on, you had others who were trying to rewrite history and remove Armenian history altogether from historical books. So now, from looking back from our perch and looking back, we can see there are so many things that just doesn't add up. You know, how can you have, you know, an ancient people who have, let's say, invented, let's say, winery and metallurgy and let's say, mathematics and even navigation. And you see all those carvings on the on the mountain and in the caves and, you know, invention. I mean, we have seen the an older shoe, leather shoe. You know, we see the older skirts. We see all these astronomical, astrotheological, geometrical things are all around Armenia, and even our genetics takes back, let's say, 8, 10, 12,000 years. How can you have that and then not realize that even those empires could be Armenian, even though it's in the same region?
Well, you know what? You make a great point. By as a kid growing up, all I remember was Kachvartan. We talked about Kachvartan. Look at this gap now. From Kachvartan all the way to Antranik. And then Antranik, the genocide, and that's it. I mean, well, we've had our heroes from Artsakh, of course, but there is such a big gap from Kachvartan to all the way to our Antranik, General Antranik. It's amazing.
Well, let me give you one reason why that's the case. Well, first of all those topics that you mentioned, it's very close to the idea of Christianity and religion. So, and of course, all the funders of these schools are, you know, religious based. So they have to hone on the idea of the importance of those events. And especially, let's say, Avadite and all that, it is Christian related. But in down to it, if you really examine it, you know, they have to do that. Otherwise, imagine you incorporate, let's say, your ancient gods and goddesses that we had. And you know, the previous 12,000 years of history that refutes everything else that comes after that. I mean, it's a big problem. So it is political based. You know, it is something religious based, and that's why on and on every year you hear the same thing. And so that hides the entire, you know, the 90% of your history, just presenting only 10%, even that, to these children. So when these children go up, they have no idea how many kingdoms they had. They have to go through specialized schooling or even have a special interest for them to read about this stuff. And the biggest volumes of truth and information is in Armenia itself. And those books are collecting dust. Nobody is translating them into English for the world to know. So there are very few books outside of Armenia that are in English. And one of them is mine. When I wrote the language as a fingerprint, it's an accumulation of all the historical facts that our people and even, you know, Germans and Italians and all the others who have put together about our history, that it's not being read. So, you know, my book was, I would say, the first one that has been published that has at least 30 pages of references, scientific references, that people can actually read themselves. You know, don't take my word for it. Go to these sources and find out for yourself. And even the books before mine, I mean, many books that have been published are pretty bad. They have a political agenda. It's falsified. Even our Armenian, some of our Armenian historians falsify our history for whatever agenda it may be. So we have internal as well as external threats going on. And so we just have to grow our numbers who are in the defense of protecting our history.
Well, let me ask you this, too. This is kind of going to what you just said. And I was listening.
Yeah.
If we did not adapt and adopt Christianity, What yeah. nation? How big? And what? Now you're an armenology, so you should kind of give us a little perspective of how you see it if we did not go that route.
Well, first of all, we didn't adapt. It was forced to us. I mean, it was as close as to the genocide as happened in 1915.
What you mean?
I mean, if you
embracing Christianity.
Yes. Oh yeah, definitely. It was never an embrace. It was through blood and sword and torture and all that. I mean, you can't have people who have been having their gods and goddesses for the last 10,000 years to change that overnight, would you? I mean, that makes no sense.
Right.
Destroying your temples. I mean, we had literature before Meshulam Mashtots.
Okay.
And how can you have all this ingenuity and history and not have literature on your own? And you had to wait all the way until the 5th century for it to have a guy come up with letters. I mean, that doesn't make sense. And the other argument is that, well, we had literature before. Okay, if we had it before, what happened to it? Well, the answer is that many of our temples had to be destroyed for them to put the churches on top of that. I mean, it's not only in Armenia, it was elsewhere too, in Italy, in Greece and all that. The Vatican is sitting on a Mithraic temple, and we had thousands of Mithraic temples. The last stronghold of Mithraism was in Armenia. So even after the Christianity replaced Mithraism in Armenia, it continued on all the way until today. I mean, we see the same things in churches. They follow the same trend. They just change the name. But the foundation is Mithraism. And there's another misconception that people need to really hear about this. Armenians were never fire worshippers. What they say, they were Zoroastrian and all that. That's simply not true. They actually understood the sun and the light. That's a big difference between worshiping the sun and the light or the fire. Having Armenians, be conceived as far as people who have worshipped fire, that's just more of a religious tangent, which tries to justify Christianity over the older gods. But from a historical standpoint, you can see that many of our artifacts, they were just even the gold statues of Anahit, they were just melted away, and all the gold and all the wealth was taken away. We had literature before that, before Master of Mashtots. I mean, we had God of Literature. I mean, why would you have a national God of Literature when you don't have a literature of your own? Mm-hmm. And I do talk about this in my book and some other articles as well. And, we really need to get out of our comfort zone and look at it from, from intellectual honesty standpoint. I mean, how can we have this immense and deep history? And we have come to the 21st century, and we only know about 5% of it. I mean, where is it? Where is the rest? And as you peel the onions, you can see, more and more ash and debris on top of the truth that we have. It's all underground. It's been turned to ash and debris. So now we're trying to re-engineer and go back and try to see how it was like. What have we lost? Do we know what we know is true, and how do we know what we're missing? If we don't have some kind of inkling idea that we are missing a big, is it time for us to go back to square one and then try to examine it again? Let's look at the Egyptians. Armenians were there at that time. Let's look at the Sumerians. We were there at that time. I mean, their inscriptions tell them and to the world that their ancestry came through Armenian highlands. I mean, we got to put enormous value to this. But the thing is, outside of the Armenian community, very few know about this. Hey, and I don't blame them. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was going to back this up a little bit here. Now, you mentioned there's a lot of kingdoms that were before the Christianity. Were they all together as one, or was this the way I'm picturing it, and I'm probably going to use the Christianity word pagan. Paganism yeah. was pretty much on kingdom to kingdom in Armenia. Now, my question is, when you bring all this together and you claim Christianity, didn't this form a nation as well when we did something like this?
Well, you mean, are you saying that wasn't Christianity beneficial?
I believe that the way that I'm picturing it was different kingdoms throughout what was now is now Armenia. But would they have unified us together to be one, or would Christianity is the way that brought all this kingdom together and made it as one?
Well, during the Tigran times, you already have seen how big the empire was. And it was pretty from sea to sea, and millions of square miles of land, which was under Tigran the Great, who was a Mithraic person himself. And we had an enormous unification. And I think that we're very much romanticizing the idea of Christianity within Armenia. I think that, you know, yes, it did a lot of good. We were able to be artistic and write books and write poetry and all that. But beyond that, if you look at from how much we have lost and with the replacement of new theology, you can see, how minimal we have retained. Now, we only have 5% of our past in a tangible form, in a material form. Everything else is destroyed.
So, only 5%? I mean, we got to have more than 5%.
Even that. No, there's nothing around. I mean, where is your history? Where is our history before, 301 AD? It doesn't exist.
Hmm.
Where are all our temples? Where are they? Where are our books? Well, where's our ingenuity? You know, where's our, all the thousands of years of ingenuity that's helped us to progress? It's not there. I mean, go before 301, all you'll find is small bits and pieces of artifacts, some coins, destroyed temple. I mean, look at the Nemrut temple on the Nemrut Mount. We have our gods and goddesses on there, right? We have Anahit, and we have Aramazd and so forth. They're all destroyed. It's in Turkish lands now. The people have made it into a tourist attraction. We can't even go into our lands for us to try to repair all that. And look at how big Armenia was thousands of years ago, and look at it now. Look how small that place is. And so the 90% of our lands are in other people's borders. So whatever they find, they just inherit it as their own.
Hmm. Okay.
Now, I mean, we spend so little time in doing excavations for ourselves. Can you imagine what can be found in those lands? And we will never get it. We're not even allowed to go to Portasar to look at our 12,000-year-old temple.
Hmm. Wow, that's
that's
disappointing. It's very disappointing. Let me ask you this too, Vahan. If you had now your armenology, is it to broaden the horizon of the people out in the West, or to keep it for the Armenian people? I mean, if you had a choice, which one would it be there, to educate all the Armenians about it, or the rest of the world?
Well, the question is two-part. First of all, the Armenology was very strong, especially within Germans, about 150, 100, 130 years ago. They wrote a lot about our history, and how our language influenced all the others within the Indo-European language tree. All the information that we have right now about our language, was really examined by the Europeans. And then, of course, in Britain as well, but, the British scholarship really destroyed much of what we had, especially as it neared to the massacres and the genocide. But as far as Armenology itself, it is something that should be taught and should be examined as soon as possible, because unlike the Egyptians and Sumerians, Armenians are the only ones left from ancient past to be witnesses to all this history. I mean, the Egyptians and Sumerians are gone. I mean, some people say that Armenians were the Sumerians, which I think is partly true, but all those ancient people are gone.
Assyrians?
We have Assyrians.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have Assyrians, but compared to Assyrians, I mean, we're thousands of years older. But yeah, we have coexisted together. And look at what's happening to the Assyrians. They have lost all their lands. They have no homeland whatsoever. They're like gypsies. So the point is that everybody should come together for the Armenology to be strong, because once you Once you reveal the ancient truth through Armenology, then all the other history falls in place. In other words, Armenology helps others, people's history, to be corrected as well. And whoever invented their history will be shown that, you know what, you know, you were never there at that time. You know, Turkey and Azerbaijan, they're trying to put their history back into thousands of years. It's not going to happen. But it will happen if they continue telling those lies, and other people who are ignorant, you know, accepts that. So it takes money, it takes funds, you know, which we lack, and also we have misappropriation of funds. You know, we have a lot of wealthy people out there that can contribute to excavations and protection of history, but you know, their priorities are all screwed up. You know, they spend millions of dollars and, you know, building a $30 million church instead of doing excavations. You know, they spend money elsewhere. We have, you know, we have a lot of wealthy people, but they really don't care. They don't care about the ancient history, and that's the problem. If we allow our ancient past to be destroyed and turn it into ash and debris, one day we're going to figure out that, you know, we no longer exist in historical books.
You know what's interesting about that, though? What you're saying, I would say to that we take a lot of pride in that whole identity as a nation, as a nationalistic people, that we're the first Christian nation, and we embrace that. I think that that's as far as we want to possibly think, as, you know, I'm speaking as a whole now, Vahan, that this is what we are, and we really wouldn't want to change being the first Christian nation that willingly took the cross and walked through the mountains with the cross.
Yeah, well, I mean, despite all the sentiments and the good and beneficial, you know, words that you have used as an expression of good faith, that's great, but it's really not true. And so, you know, yes, you know, be very, I guess, be very proud that you are, but that was not the case. It didn't happen that way. You know, many people died. Many people were, you know, killed, and our Mithraic priests were killed, and children were killed. You know, you don't change theology overnight without violence. It just doesn't happen. And that's the thing that we have forgotten. And we have completely forgotten about our past. I mean, if we're going to say we're the first Christian nation, well, if you look at the Syrians, you know, the first churches, if you follow the Bible, you know, the first churches were built in those areas, even before in Armenia. And you know, the point of saying that we're the first Christian nation is a misnomer. It's a hearsay. You don't have it documented, but that's okay. I mean, we can say that, but it doesn't change the fact that the history that has been destroyed during that time and before that, it's all a fable. We just got to be much more, I guess, intellectually honest and very honest with ourselves to see, you know, let's look at what we have and let's look at what we don't have anymore. And let's just weigh it. You know, what happened? You know, we got to go back to the drawing board and try to figure out what we have lost. And continuously, you know, parading and with all the balloons and flags that, you know, you're the first Christian nation, it really doesn't solve much. It actually causes complications and puts this curtain, you know, in front of the past and to see what has been destroyed. See?
Yeah, but then it also, if we're bringing this up now, and if we say Christianity wasn't good for Armenia, for our Armenian people, it really almost dilutes everything that we've fought and died. And
that's right.
So, you know, it's kind of like now.
It's a double-edged sword. Yeah, it's a double-edged sword. I get it. I mean, we want to feel good at the same time. You know, do we want to hinge on the esoteric value of all these things? Or do we really want to know the truth? And we need to make a decision sometimes of, do I really want to know this? If I do, well, here's the evidence. but at the same time, yes, of course. I mean, Christianity has also put our people together. I mean, what's happening? We are having parties, you know, in churches and all that. I mean, it has some beneficial aspects to it. So it puts the community together into one. But But in reality, it really destroyed much of the things that we're trying to look for right now in other people's cultures. You know, why don't we have, you know, our own literature that survives for thousands of years? You know, why do we have to go to, you know, another person's literature for me to see what Armenians did thousands of years ago?
Okay, these countries, these are people back in those times, what are they now? Like, let's say, the Georgians, were they part of these kingdoms that weren't? Yeah, you know, I just want to know what they were back then to get a little idea of what they've become now.
Well, Georgians the same. I mean, Georgians are not that. Relatively speaking, to the Armenians, I mean, they're also relatively newer than the Armenians themselves. I mean, it was small clans. Even the Armenian language was immersed there. A lot of Armenians built their cities. Tbilisi, you know, was built by Armenian architects.
Right.
And you know, you have to look at from an ancient historical standpoint. You know, you have to look at the map itself.
Right.
At that time, because once you do that, then you can see that all these newer nations are gone, and all that. We just kind of have to rewind the time, and if we do, then we can see the impact of the Armenian empires and the kingdoms, and their impact on the surrounding nations. And if you, even if you go back, let's say 10,000 years, you can see how the Armenian migration went to Iran and India, and then Europe. And that's why you see all these bloodlines that connect to Europe. Even let's say it all the way to Basque language in Spain. You know, many people don't know that, you know, the Basque language and Armenian are the same. And of course, look at all the distance between
right.
the two.
Right.
You know, we find Armenians in language in Polynesia, all the way down there. I mean, there had to be navigation going on.
I've heard that, now I don't know if it's true or not. It's probably not, but I've heard that the British Islands were from Armenians that settled. Now, am I crazy on that one?
No, you're not.
Okay. Good.
No, you're not. You know, read my book, and then I talk about that too.
Okay,
I mean,
good.
The thing is, it's very far-fetched for people because they don't realize how old Armenians are and how immersed their language is in all these languages. You can use the Armenian language and see how intricate it is to all the other languages. And even the language experts have pretty much destroyed the link between the Armenian language itself and all the other Indo-European languages. I mean, but at the same time, when you put it next to one another, and you can see it's basically all the same. You know, the word eight, you know, we say ut, you know, eight, you know, the Italian otto. Yeah, see, just because there is a morphing or evolution of the name, the concept itself and the definition itself, it's all the same. It doesn't change. And you know, for example, from Hovhannes to John and all that to Hobo, you know, you can see the evolution, but there is a source for it, right? I mean, it doesn't change the person. The person changes, you know.
Yeah, you know. So what I'm getting, the falsification, I'm saying, is more us than anyone else, because we haven't even embraced, you're saying 95% of what's out there still in our Armenian world. And you're also saying, between the lines that I'm reading here, you know, listening to you, that possibly we would have been a lot stronger and a lot bigger of a nation if we kept that aspect alive and not embraced the Christianity.
Well, we really have to look at what we teach our children when they're young, and they need to be exposed to their history in a very detailed format. Not wait until they have a chance for them to learn about this in high school or middle school, but to actually have exposure when they're very young, the way people indoctrinate their children when they're young. But you need to indoctrinate these people with the truth and with the ancient truth, not only just Armenian history itself, but the ancient history altogether, because they will give a very broad sense of mind. They will be much more open to newer ideas, for them to be critical thinking individuals and have this exposure. And because of that, that requires funding that requires a paradigm shift, that requires appropriation of funds, and also the effort of teaching our children the value of knowing the truth from the intellectual honesty standpoint. And I think that's key. And part of our problem with this falsification, you know, sometimes you can say it's misinformation, you can say disinformation or misconception. All these words are combined into this big problem that we're facing. And that requires really the efforts of everyone who is conscious and conscientious of this problem to put an effort in protecting history altogether. I mean, there are many people that when they hear me, they're saying, well, you know, you allowed me to open my eyes and for me to look at all these things from a different perspective. Or so there were some people who said, you know what, because of what you said, now I'm doing my research and I find more. Well, yes, we need this at a larger scale for everybody. You know, they're tired of hearing the same repetitive message every year, every time. And these children, I think they're sick and tired of it. You know, they're asking already. I mean, okay, Master of Mashtos, you know, brought these letters. What did we do before that? Were we using Greek language? Were we writing in Arabic? Well, what was going on? I mean, they have no idea of how to put these together, these pieces together into a logical format. You know, they start questioning things.
But even on these questioning, yeah. Though, Vaughn, I got to jump in here. Even when we're questioning, okay, well, let's look at South America. All those people, the Aztec people that were taken out and turned into Christianity, and they understood, even now they understand from what happened in the past that their Aztec folks and all that lived, but you know what, they Christianity came to form and that's all there is to it, and there were people that died. I mean, there's going to be that type of people too that say, so what to this? And it's good to have it on our history. It's good to have it on our history. We need to teach our, but what do we gain from it in the aspect of, I mean, it is what it is now with Christianity. How do we change? We don't do anything but respect the old, is what you're saying.
Sure. Well, not only just to respect it, but all our secrets are in the past. And then, too, at the same time, you know, some people misunderstand me. I'm not saying to do another shift or a change. But what I'm saying is there is a irreconcilable fact that you can't just mesh in into what you have now. And then at the same time, those people who are saying, who cares? Or, well, that's what happened. Well, if that's the case, then why are you so hinged on the Armenian genocide? We can say, oh, well, that's happened. Yeah, that's okay. Well, I mean, if you had a genocide that happened in 301, I haven't seen one person cry for that genocide. I mean, have you seen anybody who's heartbroken and is crying because we had that genocide in 301? No, they look at the other aspects of things that we were taught, that, oh, you know, everybody went on to a parade with balloons and stuff because we got converted. That is just that doesn't even map on reality. But we need to value everything, even, let's say, Christianity. Yes, you know, we got to value our churches, you know, all our histories there, all the literature that was written. I'm not saying to destroy all that, but once you start examining everything with a cold eye and with proper reason and logic, you know, your heart breaks because you realize that how much you haven't been taught and how so many generations have passed that haven't even realized all these kingdoms and the language and the importance of language in the development of the European language itself has been. You know, we just go through our lives and we never know. And the thing is, of people who will never know about this stuff, they will never have any idea what has transpired, and that's okay. But what if, let's say, you all of a sudden find out, my goodness, look at what we have and look at what we lost. And now it becomes your responsibility, in a way, when you're enlightened, that you really have to teach the other children, you know, about their past. They got to know.
Right, right. I'm just at the point to where you know, it's from listening in on this. It's very interesting, by the way, Vahan, and you got to give us our the book name and all that so we could get it out.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I'd like to even as a kid growing up and you know, the Christianity, that cross, even when we remember the Artsakh soldiers, they have the cross on them. It's a strong conviction, and I don't want to get rid of the past either. I embrace that, but it's almost like you're saying it's faith versus facts, almost, and that's essence, right?
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, yeah. For example, look at it this way. You actually said that. You said, so what if, let's say, we were wrong? We're going to, it's going to show that all the blood and tears that our ancestors fought for was wrong. You see, you made that comment. Well, that comment has been, that idea has been ingrained when you were younger. And you hold that as a valuable tool. Yes, of course, I feel the same way. You know, just because we bled and fought and all that doesn't mean that we did that for the truth's sake. You know, there's another. I mean, you can fight for something. Doesn't mean you're fighting for truth. Mm-hmm. You know, it has other esoteric values to it. I mean, if I'm going to hold, of course, I mean, I would rather, you know, take that over any other, let's say, predicament. But if we talk about, ancient history, we're talking about facts. And once we talk about facts, then our perspective changes. You know, we cannot just choose on which aspect we just want to look at the faith aspect of things and just the esoteric value, and on the other just look at the facts. You know, we got to decide how we're looking at all these things.
Yeah, yeah. We
can't pick and choose. Yeah.
This is so interesting. I mean, I could sit here for hours with you and talk about this, but you know, it's a one-hour show, and I appreciate everything that you brought to the table today, Vahan. I mean, this is interesting stuff. Tell us about your book.
Well, I mean, the second one that came out in 2014, that's called Language as a Fingerprint. And that's already out. I had no idea that it's going to be so popular, especially in India and Scotland and all the other countries there. You know, they have liked that because it really opens up the doorway for others to recognize their past and to see how Indo-European languages and the Europeans come together into one ancestry, which I think that was very valuable.
Where can they find that?
Another one. I'm sorry?
Where can they find that book?
Well, they can go to Amazon.com. It's available there. And not too many were published because I'm coming up with a third one. That relates to the Basque-Armenian language connectedness, and I think that's going to be pretty interesting. I had a couple of universities already that want to add that to part of their library portfolio. So, you know, it's something very interesting going on, and I'm in healthcare as well. I'm a consultant too. My fourth book is in post-acute healthcare. So I'm all over the place, and I'm just, you know, my thing is I'm just trying to put a small effort into helping, you know, ancient history to be revitalized and to have the truth out there, which I know that it's being bombarded by falsifications.
Well, I definitely think that the history, I mean, I see it when I go to Armenia, it embraces even past Christianity. You go to the outside places, there's sculptures, there's little pics and all this. But in any case, I think it is being revived. I just want that to be part of our past. And you, the way I look at it is a lot of countries, a lot of people did take a lot of beating to become Christian. And then when they became Christian, they just said, we respect what that time period was and the kingdoms and all that. But now we're Christians. That's the way I look at it. I mean, obviously you got a different look on it as well.
So. Well, they're not respected. If they respected it, they would just go back and see how much it has been destroyed. That's what I'm trying to say.
I got you. And you're saying this is more internal in Armenia, that we could, take some mountains down? How do we do this? I mean, everyone's looking for stuff out there right now, archaeologists, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, if you have Turkish archaeologists and they find something Armenian, they're not going to say we found Armenian artifacts,
you're right.
which even though, yeah, So we have so much, you know, ground that it's in the other people's borders, and, right. and most of the things that they find, they never give it to us. So you'll never know.
All right.
But at the end of the day, yeah.
Do you have a website our fans could go to?
Actually, there are several. Let them Google my first and last name, and they can find several interviews that I have done, including Red Ice Creations. And many people follow me through Facebook, which is fine. I put a lot of articles and scientific research material on history on my Facebook as well page, and they can follow that through. But just a simple Google will do.
Definitely.
And they can see all the videos, especially with the YouTube videos. If they go on there, my first and last name, there are several 15 or 20 videos that I was on, some TV shows as well, which I share with you a few.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Vahan. And yep. I'd love to have
you
on,
Donald,
in the future, too.
So. Thank you, sir. Thank you for the opportunity.
All right. Take care and something to think about.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, that was interesting. I really enjoyed that interview, and it's a different perspective, and I don't think Vahan Setyan is telling you guys to start worshiping anything from back then to now and forget about Christianity. I get from all this that he's just saying, let's respect, let's know, let's understand what type of kingdoms we had out there beforehand. And the falsification really falls under our situation here, not the abroad. Like I've seen these videos, these interviews with Vahan, but you know what? Vahan's telling you that this stuff happened inside the country, inside the Armenian world, and I think that we have to uncover all this. And you know what? Respect it. To me, I think it's important that we embrace it, like he said, and note that it's something that's part of our life forever. So that's where we're going with that. And thank you so much, Vahan Setyan, in Armenology. I never even knew there was an Armenology, but there is. Folks, catch our show. I know you guys are. You guys are super. I mean, your downloads. I didn't even have a show last week, and you guys popped up big numbers again. God bless. And it was an encore, so... I did have a show, but you guys already probably heard it, but you subscribe to the show, and I see it. You guys are great. And again, what's happening in Armenia, too, just, you know what, God bless our country. God bless Armenia and all those soldiers in the front line, and we couldn't have done anything without any of you. Even in Armenia, when you're supporting, when you're playing the patriotic music and you're encouraging everyone around you that this is very important to us. Artsakh is important to us, and we're all entrenched together. And that, in a way, Vahan Setyan, that's a beautiful thing, too, because we're all entrenched together now. And maybe unity can bring ahead something that was in the past, too. One day we could unfold our entire history and know what's going on. So, any case, thank you so much for subscribing. Subscribe to our show at iTunes, on Google Play, on Stitcher, on Podbeam, is it, Brian? Podbeam it is. And just go to armeniaproud.com if you want to check out our show. And on the right-hand side, he said something about Amazon having his books. Well, you know what? Why not go through our site at armeniaproud.com? And then on your right-hand side, there's Amazon. Click on Amazon and shop away. Get Vahan's Setyan's book. That's V-A-H-A-N, last name S-E-T-Y-A-N. Look him up. All right? That's all we got for you guys this week, and we'll catch you next week. And Genatsit, Kisher Party. We'll see you next week, my friends.
Tune in next week for another episode of A Toast to Armenia with Jano Kabinjian. Find the show online at armeniaproud.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, and all major podcast outlets. Join the conversation at facebook.com/armeniaproud or Twitter at armeniaproud. Get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm. Tonight.
This podcast was a presentation of lightupmedia.fm.